Jesus would throw over tables to stand for what was right. There was times where Jesus would say to some of the religious leaders, "You brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs." There was times where he took a pretty hard stand. And in the world that we live in, right now, it seems like everybody's going crazy that's on TV. There's so much hate. There's so much anger. There's so much bitterness. And so as I approach this, just pray for me that I would approach it in a way that really deals with, as believers, how do we stand in a way for God's truth, but in a way that honors authority, in a way that respects the people around us, in a way from last week that doesn't judge the hearts of the people that we're speaking to. At the end of last month, just a couple weeks ago, something happened down in Portland, Oregon. Two women were getting on a train, and as they were getting on the car, they were confronted by a person who was acting crazy, and he saw that they were wearing hijabs and on their head, and they were dressed as Muslims, and they were Muslim, and he started screaming at them and yelling at them and threatening them. And he took out a knife, and he was threatening and threatening. And three men stood in the gap.
Three heroes.
And one of the things that really stands out to me is these three heroes, they didn't know each other. They had nothing to bond them together. They were one man, I want to get this right, Ricky Best. He's a conservative military man, older. And then we have Taliesin Mecca. And he's a young liberal man who had just graduated from university. And then we had the third man, Micah Fletcher, who I know the least about, but I do, from some of the things, it sounds like he may have even had some learning, a disability of some kind. And I'm not sure specifically what that was, because there was conflicting reports, so I don't want to say which one it was. And these three men from different backgrounds saw how this crazy man with a knife, as he took it out, and was threatening these women, and they stood in the gap. Three men from different backgrounds, from different ways of thinking, from different ways of life. And they came together in unity for what? To stand against what needed to be stood against. Ricky Best and Taliesin Mecca were killed. Ricky was killed right there. And Taliesin later died at the hospital. And Micah is recovering. Guys, sometimes when we stand for what's right, there's a great cost. But we are called to stand. I said to my boys all growing up, you know what? If I get a call from the school and they say that you guys got in a fight, if they say you started the fight, there's going to be lots of consequences at home as well as the consequences at school. But if you are protecting yourself or others, I'm going to put my arm around you and say, well done. Well done. I understand there needs to be consequences here at school, and I support that. But I wanted to teach my boys, my children, I wanted to teach them to stand in the gap. To be willing to stand for what needs to be stood for. And sometimes there's a great cost. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 3 is our main scripture that we're going to go through today. Let's jump in now. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me, Moses to teach you, the Israelites, God's people, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. All right, so here's Moses, and he's telling them on behalf of the Lord, hey, guys, I've got some commands and decrees, some laws that God has put before us. And if we honor these things, God's going to bless us. God's going to bless not only us, but our children and our children's children. Guys, what's happening right now in the world is in this division in our country, is there's an attack of the enemy to create the kind of division that causes us to go after each other. The situation happened from in Portland, happened from a man who was mentally unstable, but was filled with hate. Hate causes us to do many things, and we don't have to, that we would never do otherwise. And as the church, we are called to stand, and stand in a way that shows love, that encourages. Now, I want to go to Deuteronomy here, chapter 19. And if we take this, this is one of the scriptures that sometimes people use to take vengeance upon for themselves. And so I really want to deal with this. Deuteronomy 19, 16 through 21. If a malicious witness takes the stand to accuse someone of a crime, the two people involved in the dispute must stand in the presence of the Lord before the priests and the judges who were in office at the time. The judges must make a thorough investigation, and if the witness proves to be a liar, giving false testimony against a fellow Israelite, then do to the false witness as the witness intended to do to the other party. You must purge the evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear of this and be afraid. And never again will such evil thing be done among you. Show no pity. Life for life. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Hand for hand. Foot for foot. Sounds pretty harsh, right? Sounds pretty intense. But what we have to remember is, what is the context of what's being said here? What's happening here? You've got a people who were at the end of the 400 years of being prisoners and being slaves in Egypt. And as they're at the end of that, they're being called out and they're being called to become a people. They've been tribes that are loosely associated. And God is saying, I have called you to be my people. And even as he's speaking with them, he gives them the Ten Commandments and laws and he's sharing with them. And he's trying to teach them, guys, do not go to revenge. What is revenge? Taking upon yourself to make things right. And what he's saying is, I'm giving you some laws, starting with the Ten Commandments, going on further in the Old Testament, in the books of the law. And it's these laws that are to say, don't go too far. You see, what I was taught growing up from my father was, somebody comes at you, you take them out. Somebody strikes you, you demolish them and the people they know. You don't just get even, you make it so they never think about coming at you again. So that was their worst day. And days to follow will continue to be bad. That's the heart of man that says, I'm going to make it so that me and mine never face this anymore. It's what the world says is right. And yet God says there's a better way. An eye for an eye. Don't go beyond. Do it in the measure of the law. And when you're doing it according to the law, don't take the law and demolish a person or a family for something they've done wrong. What was done, the consequence is equal. Don't destroy them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, not man's. Matthew makes it more clear. And I love how Jesus brings it up again, because he's bringing in the greater understanding. And in Matthew 5, 38 through 42, it says, "You have heard it that it was said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you for your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." So let me ask you this. Is Jesus changing the Old Testament law? Or is he fulfilling it? Remember, what was Moses called to do? He was called to be the one who teaches the truths of God. And if we go to the next slide here, it started with the Ten Commandments. Where in the Ten Commandments is it put to love the Lord your God? Does anybody see it there? We're told we're not to have any other gods before him. But see, the teaching continues, doesn't it? So Moses, it starts with the Ten Commandments, and then it goes on. And in Leviticus and Deuteronomy are the two scriptures, are the two areas of scripture where Jesus quotes from, where he's asked by Pharisees, religious leaders who were trying to get him. And they ask him, what's the most important thing? If you could say what's the most important scriptures? What is it all based on? And Jesus quotes these two areas from the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two things.
Yes.
So when we stand, we're to stand in strength, guys. We're to come and we're not to... Christians don't mean we get bullied over and we get pushed around. It means we stand in love, which is harder to do. I can be a jerk real easy. Because all I have to do is react, right? Somebody says something rude. Excuse me? That's easy. It comes natural. You don't have to teach me how to do anything. Or I can do another thing depending on my personality. Or I can go... Depending on my personality, right? I can retreat in anger and bitterness, and I'm going to get you. Or I can bully up in anger and bitterness, and I'm going to get you. The heart's the same. The heart's the same. An eye for an eye, what does it mean? It means don't go too far. Do what's right and just according to the law, but allow revenge to be God's plan, God's way, and in God's time. It's hard. It's hard to do. Romans 12, 17 through 21 says this: do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, man's vengeance goes too far. Why does it go too far? Because it's so easy for me to think it's all about me. And as soon as you push that button and I get ticked off, now it's really all about me. Me and mine. Being a pastor, I usually let things against me, unless they're really personal, go. But you come up my family, I gotta go to prayer quick, otherwise I'm gonna fall quick. You come at my church, Lord, help me. You come at the people I love. Guys, it is so important for us to realize our own humanity, our own need to trust God and to turn to Him for strength at these moments. One of the things I see in Romans 12 is God is just. God is just, and He will not be mocked. God is a God of love, but He's also a God of wrath. The one thing I don't want for anyone, even my worst of enemies, is God's wrath upon them. Or do I? Or do I? You see, the problem is where the rubber meets the road, so often I trust myself more than I trust God. So often I come to a situation and I'm the lawyer and the judge, and the executioner, and the one dancing on the grave. I got all the bases covered. And I've come, and it's no longer an eye for an eye. It's no longer what is within the law, what is right, what is just. It's Matthew's wrath. So I think it's really important that we understand what that scripture means, an eye for an eye. But don't repay anyone evil for evil. We're supposed to be doing what is right and be at peace with everyone and not to take revenge, because revenge belongs to God. And I got to trust that God does it better than me. Is God trustworthy? So God is trustworthy. So then I've got to come to Him. I've got to say, and if I realize that I don't need to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner, then I allow room for God's wrath. And I trust His reason, His understanding. Because here's the thing about a situation. When there's conflict between you and I see it from my side, and you see it from your side. And guess what? Completely, neither of us are right. Because we both have a dog in the fight. Because we both see it from our point of view. Because we both... And so now, the conflict is there, and man... And guys, how applicable is this to what's happening with our country and our world politically? We have families being broken because one person voted for one person and one voted for another. We have friendships. In the coffee shop, I've seen it multiple times. People who came in together yelling at each other because they found out they disagreed politically. And so there they are in public yelling at the other. And in one of them, I even saw the person trying to get from total strangers, people on their side, to force them out of the Starbucks. somebody who thinks like that shouldn't be allowed in here. It sounds crazy, but it's becoming commonplace. We're judging people's hearts, back to where we were last week. We're judging their hearts in the situation. And because we've judged their hearts, as this week, we're bringing the heat. And we're the executioner. We're the ones who are going to make it right. How are we to forgive? As God has forgiven us. Let me ask you this. Did God forgive you because you deserved it? Did he come and say, you know what? Aaron, before you were a Christian, he came to you and he said, you're such a good guy. I'm choosing you because you've honored me in all your ways. Did you come to Christ without sin before you came to Christ? A little rough before then? Did you make any bad decisions before Jesus? Are you like me, made any after? We all need a lot of grace, don't we? While we were yet sinners. You see, we don't jump through the hoops, earn the right to be saved, and then get saved. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So let me ask you this. Should I, as a believer, expect people who don't know Jesus to live as though Jesus was their Lord? Because if that's the case, we don't need Jesus. There's no reason I should think in any way that a non-believer will live as though Jesus is alive. And so we need to come to our world and say, we're the ambassador. Christ is the light working through us. And so when we are mocked, when we are mistreated, how do we love? We love not in our own strength. Not because the person deserves it, but in Christ's love who loved us while we were still yet sinners. That means not judging their heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. I love that. He's a new creation. She's a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Guess what? We don't get to be obnoxious politically as believers. Can we have opinions? Yes. But if we're going to be light, maybe the most important thing in our conversation shouldn't be political. Maybe the most important thing should be about Jesus. Maybe in the church, it shouldn't... Guys, I got to tell you, I had some people upset with me. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to... You might be able to figure out who, so I'm just going to leave that one in. Guys, real love can't be forced. Real love can't be forced. And so here we are. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What is our role? What is our job? What is our focus? To be the light. You see, in the time of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, what was the call to Abraham? Hey, I'm calling a people to myself, and this people, you're to be a light to the world. And instead, The people of God took the light and they shone it on themselves. And the laws that we went over, the Ten Commandments, and then the other laws that came to Moses from God to teach and were blessing and good. Guess what happened after that? The people started adding more laws. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more laws that were not from God. Because man knows better. God started something, but we got to finish it. No, history, his story, he finishes it. He started it. Time is his creation. We're small role players in the play. It's his story. Love cannot be commanded. It's taught. God teaches it to us because he first loves us when we don't deserve it. How is the love of God taught to others? I tell you, I saw the love of Christ by how a couple of people loved me with the love of Christ. That's what changed. Something's not right here. I've been judged all the time for this, and here's this man, and he's receiving me and talking to me and valuing me in the midst of my junk. And he's talking to me about this love of God. Something doesn't make sense when it's God's truth because it goes against the world's truth. Love cannot be commanded. It's got to be taught. And that's why Moses was asked to teach. And we don't start with the end, do we? We start at the beginning and we keep moving forward and we keep moving forward. And as Jesus is asked, love God with everything, love your neighbor with that same love. Give love away. Don't wait for it to be earned. Guys, did you hear that? I want to encourage you. This is going to be hard. I promise you there's probably going to be a cost. If you love well, some people will receive it. Some people will eventually receive it. And others will be so offended by love, they won't know what to do except come at you with everything they have. So as I put this to you, I want you to be well aware. I'm not saying love and everybody around you is going to receive it and it's like, oh, wow. We've got this utopia going, isn't it? No. When we love well, just like those three men loved well, sometimes the cost is great. But we see an example that goes out that people of different backgrounds can come together to love. And when that's done in the name of Jesus, it's supernatural love. It's supernatural power. And that's what transforms lives. Guys, this is as much for me as it is for you. We got Father's Day coming up, right? So families are going to be together, right? Opportunities for some old relationships to be challenged. I want to encourage you. Let's go in quick to love. Let's not engage in the battle. I have a hard time with this. With my family more than anyone else that I grew up with. It's the hardest for me. The next group that's hardest for me is my family that I'm the husband of, the father of. The people who are closest to me, the people who are under my authority, and especially those who I've been under their authority. Man, it's hard. But what if we love first? The eye for an eye was intended to stress God's justice, the law, good things without going too far. It's a reminder to us, every time you hear an eye for an eye, remember this. Have this come to your mind, that it's about God's way, God's judgment, God's plan. An eye for an eye means I don't take it upon myself. I do what's appropriate in this world, and I trust God to deal with the consequences. But I have a heart that just, like from last week, that doesn't judge the heart of the other person. And as, I mean, we've all failed at this many times, but it doesn't mean we have to fail the next time. We've all reacted inappropriately at times. And guess what? It's going to happen again. Be quick to ask for forgiveness. Be quick to make things right. Guys, I'm excited that as we learn these things and use them and apply them, and it happens more and more, the wake behind us will be blessing rather than broken relationships. Because all of us can look in the rearview mirror and, Lord, forgive me. And it's painful when we look back, isn't it? It's painful because we know that we were a part of that. But we don't have to live like that today. We can choose to allow Christ. We can stand in conflict well. We can do it in a loving way. We can do it in a way that allows others to get the best of us. Because it comes down to that one thing that is kind of the theme behind what this series is about, which is choose to love rather than be right. It's easy to be right. Choose to love. Put being right aside. At work, in marriage, with friends, choose to love. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you call us to stand and stand in a way that shows incredible character and strength. Lord, forgive us for being so weak to just react again and again and to allow our emotions to push us forward rather than love. Rather, Lord, to allow our, forgive us for allowing our wounds to direct our path rather than our identity in you. Lord, I pray that scripture that we went over, that we are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Lord, our identity is as believers, children of the Most High God. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you know us, that you receive us because of what you've done. And as we've come to you in repentance, Lord, thank you for meeting us right there. Father, I just ask if there's anyone here who is still at war with you, Lord. Maybe fond of you, maybe knowing about you. Wherever they're at, Lord. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them in a personal way today. And they would receive you as the Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray if you were working on their hearts that they would seek someone out. They would most importantly seek you out. And they would pray a prayer of forgiveness and choosing to make you their Lord and Savior. Father, thank you that you are God. Thank you that you are holy. Lord, we desire to be so much more than religious. We desire to have faith in you. We desire to be transformed by your love and your truth. We desire to go from spiritual eternal death to life. Lord, Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for a wonderful family that time and again loves first. Lord, forgive us for where we haven't. If there's any wounds in this room, Lord, we pray for blessing and healing. If there's any wounds with people here, with people outside, Lord, pray that it wouldn't be bondage, but Lord, there would be forgiveness in the heart and soul, and there would be freedom in Christ. Lord, we thank you for this scripture. We thank you for your truth. Make us a blessing to many by working through us and using even us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.